Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Got to say amen. All right. Here we go. Chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Then this is a verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, crownest him with glory and honor, didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he hath left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Amen. Tonight, God being my helper, I want to look at verse 4. I want to talk to you about the church we ought to be. Church we ought to be. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. He goes from there and goes down through the list of the things that he is going to do with man, and one day man shall again, as Adam fell, man will once again be restored to the predominant feature of ruling with Christ Jesus. Till that day comes, we must understand that everything isn't under our feet, but we have a God who works with us. How many understands that God wishes and wills to work with us? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know that you are not just going to bite the hook just because I have thrown it out in the water. You say, what are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? So here I go. I'm going to try to lead you to the place where I can get you to say amen. Listen to this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Excuse me. These are things that shall follow them that believe. But that's not the most glorious part. That's not the verse that ought to make you just shout, throw a songbook up in the air, get up on top of the pew, and just run it. It's the next one. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, glorified Christ. But notice what went on the earth. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The church we ought to be is a church where the Lord works. He is not going to come in a physical body and do what he done in the days of the gospel. But he is here. He is here. He is here tonight. He is right in this building tonight. Some of you said, I haven't run into him yet. I know. I can tell by looking at you. Right now, you couldn't tell if you're sitting right in the seat next to you. You got to come to the faith. Faith. Faith not in a preacher. Faith not in a church. Faith in the Word of God. The Bible says it. I believe it. God's Word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's Word will last forever throughout all eternity. I'm not asking you to put faith in me. I'm not asking you to put faith in gyrations or anything else. I'm asking you to come back sincerely to look at this book. And if you look at this book sincerely, it gives you some hope that you can't find anywhere else. For this book gives you the assurance that Jesus still comes to church. And he still works when he comes to church. He comes to church in his work clothes. One day he'll step out of his work clothes. But until that day comes when he wears diamonds and diadems and royal robes and glorious apparel, and his eyes are like fire and his feet are like brass. Amen. Till that day he wears work clothes. Well, Jesus comes to church to work. He never comes to a service to sit idly by. Bless me if you can, preacher. It's really going to be hard for you to do it tonight.
Come on, preach, brother.
But Jesus comes to work.
Right.
I seen him work this morning on Sister Laura.
All right.
I've been her pastor now for a while. On two occasions now I've heard her speak in tongues. That wasn't bad. I really enjoyed that. I really thought that was wonderful. But today when I was kneeling here and she was speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell her. I'll help her. That's when Jesus comes to church with his hands ready to get involved and his sleeves rolled up and ready to take on your burden. For this Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness then? Come on, give me a witness.
Amen.
Jesus comes to church to work. The early church prayed in Acts chapter 4. And the very house where they were praying was shaken. Shaken? Oh, that's the kind of prayer meeting we're wanting. That's the kind of prayer meeting we desire. But the Bible said the prayer where they were praying was shaken. And a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost came upon them, descended upon that house and shook it. Amen. And the Bible talks about great power and great grace and great boldness that the church had after that visitation. You can't tell me the Holy Ghost just come there, amen, for them to stay inside that house. No more than they did on the day of Pentecost when it fell there and set 120 souls on fire. And before you know it, the upper room is empty and the street is full. The kind of church the Lord would like for us to be is one that depends upon him and lets him work. Do you think the Lord would use you in any situation? I'll tell you this. If you don't live holy, he's not going to. And unless you come back to an old time dedication, he's not going to. That's all right. You don't have to help me to preach. After a while, the preacher will come and I'll be all right. But this simply says, God also bearing them witness. How does God witness which church is the right church? How does God witness which church you ought to be in? How does God witness which altar you ought to pray at? Is God a witnessing God? Does God have preferences? He passed over, amen, a lot of places to get to where there was a church. In fact, you don't have to have a big crowd to get him to work. Paul and Silas was in the prison, and it became midnight. Midnight, the darkest time. When you're in a dungeon, there was no electricity. They didn't flip no light on. Those guys wasn't going to burn a torch for two prisoners. They were in the dark. They were in the dark, and they were in stocks. And their back was hurting. And they probably had a migraine headache. If you went through what they went through that day, you'd have a headache. But they decided that they wanted to see if God could find them in the dark. How many know the story? They gave God just one trail to follow. They began to pray. And then prayer turned to singing. And they sung. Did they not sing? They sung at the midnight hour. They sung, and God bent over. Look down there at Philippi. God turned his ear and listened to the singing coming out of a prison in Philippi. I know that voice, God said. I've heard that voice in prayer before. I know that voice. That's one of my church people. Amen. That's one of those holy rollers. That's one of those holiness preachers. He's got himself in jail. Amen. And he can't get himself out. Can I get an amen? He's in jail and can't get himself out. And there he is singing like a canary in a cage. In the darkest hour of the night, he's worshiping God and singing psalms. And all of a sudden God said, well, it's time to go to work. They kept on singing, God came near. They kept on singing, God came near. They kept on singing, and God got there. And when God got there, he shook that jailhouse. Did he not shake the jailhouse? I said, did he not shake the jailhouse? Paul and Silas did not shake the jailhouse. God shook the jailhouse till every door in the jailhouse was open. Did he not work? Did he not confirm his word? And the prisoners heard him. And the prisoners witnessed it. And the jailer come trembling in. And the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that's God at work. And Jesus didn't preach. And God didn't utter a word. But the apostle Paul, as a worker with Christ and a worker for Christ, said, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they got out of jail.
Come on, Rebbe.
Does God work? God works overtime. God runs a night shift. There he was at midnight working. Can you depend on him at midnight? Can you depend on him to stay there all night long? Well, Daniel found himself in a lion's den because he prayed. Did he not? And did he keep on praying? He kept on praying. He prayed until the lions got used to prayer. He prayed until the peace of God filled the den. He prayed until the lions got sleepy. He prayed until they laid down. Daniel kept on praying. He prayed until the stone was rolled back. He prayed until the king said, oh, Daniel, was thy God able to deliver thee? Oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, live forever. Everything's all right down here, for God works the night shift. And when he goes to work, he doesn't quit until you're out of trouble. When Daniel got up out of the lion's den, those who accused him were thrown in. All of a sudden, there was nobody in there but lions and people. And people got eaten. Because when Daniel come out of there, God came out with him. Oh, you're not hearing me? Does God work? God works the night shift. God works all night long. God will work until you're out of trouble. Three Hebrew children was in a mess, wasn't they? Would you like to try that one on? I've seen folks that I wish I could walk on water. Well, you can try it. There's a river right behind us. There's a little lake on the other side of it. You can go over and try walking on water if you want to. But how would you like to try to stay alive in a burning furnace? Sort of impossibility. About 7 seconds after you're introduced to that kind of heat, it burns the oxygen out of your lungs. You die within a few seconds of being introduced to that kind of heat. But now, don't get ahead of me. I know you read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But forget them. Look at the other guy who come just in time. That invisible person that could not be seen but came from somewhere. And when he came to work. You see, they were bound hand and foot. They had their hat on their head. They had all of their clothes on. They were bound, and the men who threw them in died. I told you, you can't live in that kind of heat. They died. And the king thought the other ones were right now dead too. So he got down, he looked down. He looked down, and he saw. He said, one. Yeah, we threw one in there. Two. Yes, we threw two in there. Three. Yes, we threw three in there. They're not burning. They're not bound. They're not hurt. They're walking around. What's the reason? Because we got a God that pulls the midnight shift and will work till you're out of trouble. He will not quit. He will not fail. He will not deter. He will not let go. He is tenacious. He's worse than a pit bull. When he gets a hold of it, he won't let go of it. He will not quit until you're out of trouble. Oh, you're not listening to me, and you're not helping me preach. When the king counted again, there was a fourth man. He couldn't understand it. Did we not throw three? Then who's this one? I know there's three. They cost me some good men. I know there's three because men give their life to put them in there. But who is that that's got enough life to preserve them? Who is that one in there that's got enough power to keep them? Who is that that's in there that can keep them breathing when there's no oxygen that's not burning? Who is that fourth man in the fire with them? Oh, I'm glad you asked me. God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles. Who's that fourth man in the fire? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Almighty, Jehovah God, Jehovah that cannot burn. Amen. You try him, he won't burn. You put him in water, he won't drown. He'll walk on it. Amen. You try to shoot him, you can't shoot him. He will make the gun not work. Amen. You try to bomb him, he can't be bombed. He's alive and has all power in his hand. If he says to the fire, burn, you can't put it out. But if he says to the fire, be quenched, it'll die. If he says to the water, roar, it'll roar. If he says to the water, peace be still, it'll lay down, lick his feet, because he is God. He's a God that works.
Right.
He's a God that works for you.
Yeah.
He's a God that wants to work with you. He's a God that would like for you to believe in Him and believe in His omnipotence and believe that He can do all things and that there's nothing impossible with Him and nothing too hard for Him. And at His word, worlds come into existence. And at His word, the dead live. So the king had a change of mind. When they got out, he counted them again. And there was 1, 2, 3. Where did that fourth man go? Well, he was no longer needed. So he disappeared. But he didn't disappear until the job was over. You just think he's gone. The Bible says, lo, I am with you always. Oh, you're not helping me preach. If you're not going to help me preach, I'm not going to preach long. Amen. I'll save it, take it somewhere else, and preach it somewhere else. Amen. If you can't give me an amen, I can show you silence. Listen to me. Listen to me. You're headed towards trouble. America is not out of trouble. America is only building them a mirage. They think it's a pool, it's an oasis, but it's not. It's a sand and it's burning. There's a lot of deception going on. You can't live with this kind of deception. They're not telling you everything you need to know about your government. But here we are. What are we going to do when it all comes crumbling down like a sandcastle? What are we going to do then? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be saying, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I need you at my house. Jesus, sweet Jesus, I need you at my house. I don't want you up there, sweet Jesus. I need you down here, sweet Jesus. I need you to put bread on my table. I need you to put clothes on my back. I need you to make my shoes last longer. I need you to make a way where there seems to be no way. I need you, Lord, and I need you now. I'm glad I can tell you and report to you that they went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Is he a God that'll go to work? Yes. Will he help you out in the time of trouble? Yes. Yes, he will. I said, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Amen. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, he was a tent maker. He's sitting there stitching those tents, canvas or hides. Stitching them, sewing them together, making tents. Here comes somebody in a hurry. A real dilemma. Paul, you got to come. So and so is sick. They need you to come right now. Paul said, I can't do it. But here, take my handkerchief. Take this and go. And when you get there, lay my handkerchief on them. Now, Paul's still over here stitching tents, but he's saying, Jesus, you got to go. And the Lord steps on a silver cloud out of the throne room of heaven. And he doesn't always send angels to do his work. Sometimes he comes himself. How many's ever had the Lord to come to you? Oh, hallelujah. I'm beginning to feel like the preacher's about to come. And the handkerchief got there and the runner got there and he laid it on them. And the Bible said it had so much power that even unclean spirits cried out. Cried out from somebody, the little old tent maker up the road that believed in the power of the name of Jesus. Cried out and the sick were healed and the demon possessed was freed. Because there's somebody that said, the Lord will work with me. The Lord will work with me. I can't go, but the Lord will work with me. And he sent that handkerchief
and the power of God came right. into the situation, and God worked.
Right.
I said, and God worked
right.
and confirmed the word
right.
with signs following.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, it is. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
That's not all the Bible says about that. It said God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, all you Bible scholars can look it up when you get home, if you haven't already looked it up. It just means simply they were special because they were sent to individuals. Like a special one for Brother Cheek and a special one for Brother Hoskins. It wasn't a general miracle. It was a special miracle that somebody had pleaded somebody's name. And God was enticed to work a special miracle. How many's ever had a special miracle done? Oh, come on now. You're not helping me preach. Hallelujah. Special miracle. Your name on it. Special miracle. Somebody prayed it down over here. And God sent it to you. Amen. Special miracle. That money came and no one had a name on it. That money appeared and nobody could explain how that miracle got happened, and you couldn't understand where it came from. All of a sudden, things got a whole lot better at home because God was working a special miracle in your life. How many needs a special miracle? Are you a believer? I think God laid this on my heart to preach this to you, because somebody here tonight's got a special miracle coming your way. I know some of you don't need anything. That's a Laodicean age that I preach in. Who, it's hard to preach to Laodiceans. They have need of nothing. But in the midst of the Laodiceans, there's a few hungry souls that said, oh God, if you don't move, I can't make it. Oh God, if you don't make a way, I'm not going to be able to stand it. Oh God, if you don't help me, I won't be here tomorrow. Got to have help, and I got to have it now. Oh, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Somewhere in this building tonight, there's somebody whose God has said, BD, preach to them. And he don't call me BD. He don't even call my name. I'm just ab living there. I'm telling you that he spoke to my heart today that I should preach this to you. And when God does that, I know something's up. Somebody has touched the throne of God, and they need a confirmation that your prayer has reached the throne, and that God, who hears prayer, is about to send a special miracle into your life. Amen. Oh,
hallelujah.
Great God of heaven, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Right now, right now, right now, right now. It's on its way right now, right now. Right now, God's got your name. Right now, God's working it out. Right now, God's working with you. Right now, God's going to make a way. Oh, hallelujah. If I was you and I needed that miracle, I'd jump up on my feet. I'd say, God, I'll meet you halfway if you tell me which way you're coming. I need help. That's it. That's it. Raise your hands. Ask him. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Amen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, I wish you would lighten up. I wish you would let go, for the Holy Ghost is hovering over this place. And you can walk out of here different than what you come in. If you'll just turn loose and let go, God will work that out. God will give you the confirmation that He has heard you and that He is on the job and that He will not quit until you have had your say. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hey! Help me, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is here. Like I said, He didn't tell me who you were. It's none of my business. He's working. 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 If you'll let Him have it, if you can turn it over to Him, if you can let Him have it, nothing is impossible to them that believe. If you can do that, amen. If you can turn it over, He can work it out. But He's not going to take it out of your hands for Him to work it out. You got to give it to Him. You've got to say, I'm trusting in Your name. I'm trusting in Your power. I'm trusting in You, Lord. I am trusting in You, Lord. I am trusting in You, Lord. And You have never failed me. And You're not going to fail me now. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody lift one hand up and say, Lord, help me. The Holy Ghost is going to come and help us out here in just a few minutes. I can feel Him getting closer. Somebody just needs to let the Lord work with us. Now, that's part of what the Scripture implies, that there will be times when He will do it with diverse tongues. There'll be times when He will send a prophecy. There'll be times when He'll send an angel like He did to Peter and to Cornelius. There'll be times when He'll do many different things, but for one benefit and it only, for the benefit of a family. Cornelius, was he not a Gentile? But did he not build him a synagogue? Did not his prayers go up and become a memorial to God? And then God said, all right, Cornelius, all right, you've touched my heartstring. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to work it out for your whole family and your whole house. Cornelius, how many ever you get in that house, I'm going to come on a house call. And when I come on that house call, I'm going to change your house. He said, all you have to do is go to Simon the tanner and look for Simon Peter. And when you find him, tell him he's got to come. And Peter, after the vision that the Lord gives him, comes down and goes with him. And he said, is this everybody you want me to preach to? He said, this is it. The house is full. And Peter began to preach. How many's read the book? Did not Peter begin to preach? But Peter didn't finish a sermon. In the middle of his preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. And everybody in that house was filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody shout amen. God, while I'm preaching this, while I'm preaching this, Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall on us. There's people here with broken hearts and broken futures. They can't see how. They can't see how it's going to work out. They've got a parent that's lost. They've got children that are out of the ark of safety. They've got so many problems, they don't know what to do with them. But while I'm preaching, Lord, I want You to confirm Your word. I want you to come as a witness, Lord, to their heart. I want You to witness to them that You're on Your way. Hallelujah. You're on Your way. And You're going to help them out. Let Him work. Let Him work. He's about to give you a witness. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. There's not a lie in Him. If He tells you He's going to do it, you can depend on it. It will be done. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Spirit of God. working with me. Work with me. Work with me. Work with me, Lord. I can't do this. I got to have some help. We need special miracles here tonight. We need some special miracles here tonight, Lord. We need a special miracle here tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord of hosts is my name, and I am with thee. I have come to give the weak strength to the faint power. I have come to lift up that is trodden down and to let the prisoner go free. Tonight I speak a word to you, my word of power, my word I give to thee. If thou will but trust me, and bring thy problem to this altar, I will meet with thee here, and thou shalt find rest for thy soul and a comfort that thou canst not understand where and how it is so strong in thy soul. But you will believe after I touch you. You will know that the Lord has spoken to thee, and thou shalt have assurance that I am at work. And I shall continue this work until that day. Yea, saith the Lord, trust me, and I will not fail thee, saith the Lord. Oh.